All right, 6-point weekend, episode 53, brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company, tastybeverageco.com. It's sour beer season, y'all. By all means, go get yourself some Tasty Beverage. There you have a spot in downtown Raleigh, have a spot in Asheville. They're Sterling Food now, I think, in Asheville, which is really awesome. And we're also brought to you by the Beautiful Game Network, bgn.fm, and goldengoldpress.com. We're also have Friends of the Pods on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Hashtag SNST fam.
And that beautiful voice that you're hearing is Simon from Oak City Supporters. How you doing, Simon?
Hey, Chuck. Nothing like being a substitute.
first alternate.
Oh, okay. I'm the third runner up. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. You get a participation trophy, so it's all good.
All right.
All right, so
baby boomer.
Yeah, yeah. So you were at the game. You're at both games.
I was at one and a half games.
Right. So
we'll bring up why later.
Yeah. There's a lot involved with that. So we had a Pride Night doubleheader this past weekend. We're gonna skip Open Cup result because it was a 4-0 loss, and that seems like almost a week and a half ago. So
I'm sorry, I don't remember. It must not have. I didn't get the stream. It's the weirdest thing.
I don't remember that happening. Yeah.
We'll pour one out later.
Yeah.
But we pulled it back where it counts in the league. So I think we were all pretty okay with the result after it happened, knowing we probably, weren't going to win we're probably not going to win the Open Cup, but we really needed to pick up maximum points against bottom of the table Kansas City B Swope Park Rangers. So, I mean, that's the nicest way I can put it. I mean, when you're below Matthews and Hartford, bro.
Well, and people kind of have a short memory because Swope Park had made it to the finals maybe 2 years ago, and they've made it to the playoffs almost every year. But for whatever reason, this year is just awful. There's probably a multitude of reasons.
I think the problem is just like any of these two teams, it's like, a double-A baseball team. You pack it full of your top prospects, and once you pull your prospects out, you either sink or swim. And I think this year they're just sinking. So, I see Swope Park as last year's Atlanta too. It's just probably not their year, but I would watch out for them probably next year.
Yeah, the early calls for them to go down to League One are a little premature. Kansas City has a very good organization. They're unfortunately the MLS side is going through a lot of injuries and just kind of shaking up all these players up and down. And so there's not been a level of consistency up at the top. And so I think that trickles down to the bottom. Having said that,
I think I know because we were in we got to the stands and I was checking like some FOTMOB alert. Like I think I got the alert that the game started and I was like, ugh, push notifications are late. And I looked up and everybody was going crazy. And I was like, I missed it. I already missed it. We've only played like 4 minutes. So shout out to Yama County Chester for scoring in the 6th minute.
Yeah, barely time to get your butt in the seat and then boom, goal. Good move for him. So tracking back a little bit, McLeod starting in goal, which interesting, I think, because from a rotation perspective, it needed to happen. You had Taylor, Duvernay, Comsia, and Guillen. Albaldawi, Chester, Igbekoy, and Fortune. And Spies with the captain's armband, and Christo up top. And yeah, so Chester started off with a 6-minute goal. Wasn't expecting that.
No, and watching back the highlights, what really made that is what I think makes Christo such a great, like, big target man. His hold-up play and his vision to see somebody cut is fantastic. Like, Yamakani came out of, like, left field. Like, he came at full sprint, picked the ball up, and then just smashed it. So, it was, I think Dean Linke was the play-by-play, and he was, like, they were gushing over Christo's pass almost as much as they were Chester's goal.
Yeah. Looking at when Christo was signed, and when we announced it, and I, you immediately go back and look at all the YouTube footage that you can find. And I swore up and down, I was like, this guy's got really decent touch for a big dude. And it's just looking at at his placement of passes for a striker that's usually a target man, was I was pretty impressed. I could see why they brought him, and we're starting to see that. And he's got a very good deft touch just with his finishing too. We have a couple of examples already of his goals that are like dinks over the keeper or, you know, nice slotted finish.
Oh, yeah.
But Chester is starting to kind of come into his own. I think he's finally starting to get settled a little bit. He's finally starting to kind of produce. He's starting more. It's still raw, but I'm liking what I'm seeing more and more every week from Chester. What do you think?
Oh yeah, obviously. Without a doubt, I think he is. I mean, obviously, when you move, I haven't done it, but so assuming, obviously, when you move continents, it's a huge deal. And he's been here for a few months. Luckily, he has someone he can talk to. There are people on the team that speak, you know, the same language as him. So he's just getting comfortable. He's able to do his job. And fortunately, unfortunately, we've had injuries in positions that he played out on the wing. So, I mean, fortunate for him getting playing time, unfortunate for like us as fans to see who would have been starting and those players. But I think starting the season, we all saw him as a super raw, really, really fast talent. And now you're seeing him score on what should be impossible angles and just these crisp, perfectly placed like one-timers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, so as somebody, I'll wrap this up real quick. As someone who has been painted into like the corner of being like a super negative fan, which I'll own that. I am super pessimistic all the time. I am really impressed at Yamakani's development under the, I don't know if it's coaching staff. I don't know if it's just players on the team that are coaching, that helping him on the field, or if he's just great that just needed more reps. Like I'm really pleased with him being on this team.
Yeah, same. I like where he's developing. I like where he's at right now in his game. I think you were alluding to the fact that it was Manny's position to give up essentially, and unfortunately he had to because he has an injury. And word has it that he is on his way back to Celtic for some treatment because he's technically their player. But also word has that he's coming back.
At time of recording, we're bending news. I don't know if we're breaking it, but
yeah, I'd say we're bending news. I think it's pretty obvious news based off of social media.
Yeah, we're spraining news. We're not breaking news.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, at least for the time being, we now have two reliable people to play out on the right wing. We have Chester and on his name. Yeah, Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
So I feel comfortable on both wings, honestly, because we have for the wingers, we have Donovan Miller, Chester, and knock on wood, Austin Deleuze. I wouldn't put Spees back out there, as we've seen the last couple of games where he might float out wide. I think Neil said it. I wouldn't trust him out wide. He needs to be behind the striker.
Absolutely. I think his threat on goal, Spees' threat on goal, his age and his ability to find the right pass scream middle of the field. And behind, like as the 10 behind the striker, I wouldn't mind him playing as a false 9, but it's definitely not on the wing.
Like a shadow striker or something like that. But
he has
to be hearing footsteps too, because not too long after Chester scored, he's one of our own, Andre Fortune, 13 minutes. After 13 minutes, we'd scored two goals. I don't think anybody would have actively predicted within 13 minutes we'd be two up, even on a struggling beating. I wouldn't have been that optimistic.
Nope. And I was not able to make the game until maybe the last 10 minutes. So me checking the feed, checking the foot mob, scoreline or whatever, and seeing we're up 2-0, I'm like, oh well, hell yeah. Like, yeah, it's that scoreline where you're like, that's where we want to be, but I was expecting this to be the 88th minute, not the 13th.
Kind of like the Hartford Road game. Like if you take out the 15 second goal, which they'll never let us live down,
Lord,
if you take away that and you take away the tying goal, I thought this would just kind of be like a bad team, you know, playing a little rough, trying not to give anything up. So, super surprised. Shout out to good guy Dave Sarazen when it comes to just man management, tactic management, rotating players, plugging them in. Dre has three goals in two league games.
peaking at the right time with the injuries and everything. Dre's peaking at a not the right time, but I would say at a good time, both for him as a professional, for us as a team, and just I think if Dre's happy, everybody's happy.
Yeah, like, and I don't want to beat the dead horse about why Dre was never playing before, but it is obvious he came into this season with something to prove.
Mm-hmm. And he's got the talent. There's no doubt. You think back to, I think, God, it was even last year he was on trial with NYCFC, and they were kind of feeling him out.
I think he was close to making it too.
Yeah, he was.
Like, I think so. He wasn't an early cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in the handshake line, I kind of threw away, like, I threw out the, like, a joke line of, so when are we expecting that call up? And he just, you know, he just shrugged and laughed and went, hey, my phone's on. So to the federation of whomever he can play for, Dre's phone's on.
That's right. Sneaky good. Simon, any other thoughts about NCFC's performance? We have a game this weekend, but you got any thoughts
on the Swope Park game?
Yeah.
Good team win. Saracen said Saracen said in the post game presser, or maybe it was the presser today, that, you know, this team is built on the, like, nobody's better than the, like, no, we have no stars, like, we're a star, that whole, like Real Salt Lake when they were good thing, like, the team's the star. So I mean, all around good win. I'm not gonna lie, I went a little hard at the tailgate, so it was hot.
My fault. I did not know when we should be starting the tailgate, so I set it at, what did I set it at,
two p.m.
yeah, 2 p.m.
Yeah, it was a 3-hour tailgate, and shout out to everybody who showed up that early to tailgate on what was actually a really, you know, pretty beautiful, pristine day. It was just hot. So, like, I think both teams kind of realized, like, once both goals went in, that was probably it. Yeah. So,
although NCFC could have had a few more. Looking at the highlights, they could have had a few more. They had some off the bar, great saves by their keeper. It could have been more.
Yeah, whose name isn't FCC friendly, but he's up for save of the week because it's the one where Christo hit it. He was the kicker from the water boy when he was nailing that that field goal. Like he visualized an attack and he knocked the ever loving piss out of the ball and. Like, I think if he'd have hit it a little softer, it might have, like, snuck in. But Christo hit it off the guy's elbow. It rocketed straight up, bounced off the crossbar. So the crossbar's up for save of the week. Not funny that guy is, but the crossbar saved it. But
crossbar's undefeated. Never lost.
Never lost.
All right, we're gonna throw
it
to.
I think that does it.
it's a great time to cut this off, and we're gonna throw it to the interview with Brad from This Is Silly podcast, the St. Louis FC podcast, part of the St. Louisans. So we're gonna throw it to that interview, and then we're gonna come back, and we're gonna talk Cardinal Collective Minute, and then we're gonna do some Courage and World Cup talk. Okay, so Simon and I have Brad on the line from the St. Louligans and This Is Silly podcast. Brad, thank you very much for joining 6 Point Weekend. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Yeah, good.
Doing well,
good.
Bud. Thanks for being on.
Appreciate you coming on. And let's just kind of dive right into some questions that we have for you, because this is our first time playing St. Louis FC, because you guys have historically had a problem from going East Conference or Western Conference back to Eastern Conference back to Western. And it's finally synced up that you guys are in the East and we're in the East. So this is a first for us. But yeah, so one of the things that we noticed right away that Simon and I were kind of talking before was you guys have a, you know, generic name FC like us, and you guys took it upon yourselves to kind of like have fun with the nickname, because it's kind of cool to not have a nickname and just let the fans come up with one organically. And y'all came up with one that was very, very unique. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
The Chupacabras, I guess. Is that what you're referring to? Yeah, it actually existed before St. Louis FC existed.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, the podcast has been around since 2011. Mm. And throughout that era, there were always rumors that there was a pro team coming. And a lot of those rumors were just rumors. There was no truth to them. So we would just call them chupacabra sightings. You know, yeah. Because it took too long to say, well, I heard there was a team coming. And it was just like, yeah, it's just another chupacabra sighting. So then when it actually started to happen, the GM from St. Louis FC, who's still there, he reached out and wanted to talk to us and wanted us involved with the new team. And we said, oh, yeah, that's great. And if you want to call them the Chupacabras, you're more than welcome to. They declined. They just went with St. Louis FC. So some of our chants and stuff, we'll still reference the Chupacabra. We've got some t-shirts and stuff. But you know, I like the dead will, too. You know,
I appreciate it, man. Yeah. Yeah. We.
I'm not going to lie. I just Google stalked it. And so if you Google St. Louis FC Chupacabra, it takes you to the page from 2015, and it's like the meme from Anchorman, and he says Chupacabra watch. Yeah. So
we had fun with it in the lead up.
Looks like it. Yeah,
that... some fans that were very afraid they were gonna name it the Chupacabras. You know, new people coming on board, and we can't do this, and we're like, oh yeah, it happened.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of that's not family friendly.
Yeah, right.
And it's just like, you know, it's not really about it, and you just sit down, enjoy yourself.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like the dead whale. Some people were like, you guys aren't actually going to be, they're not actually called that, are they? It's like, no, here's the website. It explains it. Good night.
Yeah, it's a good story. You got to run with those things.
Exactly. I like the organic fan created content that the club just kind of tips that. I wouldn't say acknowledge directly, or, you know, tips the cap to it. You know, like, I guess,
I mean, they have fun with it. I mean, some of the front office people were the first people to buy our Chupacabra t-shirts. I mean, they have a good time with it. They appreciate it.
Yeah. It's like a mirror image of ours stuff. Like, as soon as we started doing Dead Whale Society stuff, some of the front office would buy a shirt here, or, you know, they buy the scarves and all that stuff. So at the end of the day, it's support, and that's all that really matters. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys have been doing the podcast since 2011. What was the founding date of St. Louis FC was after that, correct?
Yeah, it was announced in 2014, but the team started in 2015.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
In 2010, we had an NASL team, AC St. Louis, and that's where a lot of us got together, started the St. Louligans, and you know, when that team folded after 1 year, we weren't ready to quit having fun, so we supported PDL teams and, you know, NASL teams, whatever we could. So we were still around. We were waiting for a pro team to come back.
What do you think's been, like, the key to, like, the St. Louligans, like, longevity?
You just got to keep doing it. I mean, people ask me all the time, you know, it's like, how did you do this? And how did you do this? I mean, we just kept doing it. And, you know, offering free beer and people showing up having a good time and, you know, just keep putting out a product and people will follow you.
Again, that just mirrors our experience too. It's we were lucky enough to have some sponsors for our tailgates, and free beer really brings people out. Free beer and free food.
Yeah, exactly.
and then, like, you kind of like catch them with that and you say, oh, while you're here, come enjoy a game. Come sit with us.
Yeah.
We'll teach you the chance and everything.
Yeah, obviously we wish more people would come out. You know, our attendance isn't super huge, but the people that come out typically have a good time and come back, so we just got to get them one beer at a time.
Yeah. Oh, I like that slogan, one beer at a time.
Or six, if you know.
Yeah, you know, right. So talk to us. So we're gonna maybe transition a little bit into the club itself, into the team. So talk to us about how you're feeling about St. Louis FC right now, after you guys had a really strong, fast start to the season. Maybe was it above your expectations a bit? And how are you guys feeling now that you know, things have kind of slowed down a bit?
I mean, yeah, I think we had a few wins early that maybe surprised us. Mm-hmm. But we knew, you know, Anthony Pulis, this is his second year with the team. He's all about organization and defense. And if you get those things right, you can crank out a couple wins. Lately, you know, I don't know if it's the Open Cup. We've had a couple games postponed because of weather and flooding at the park. It's hard to get into a rhythm. So I'm kind of chalking up the last couple of league games to a little bit of ring rust. But you got to do that. And so I'm not worried. Obviously, they're putting some effort into the Open Cup. Mm-hmm. And when that ends, I think the team will settle back down and get back to winning.
What do you think like the best formation for you guys is? I know your coach is Anthony Pulis, so for anyone who can add, Tony Pulis is his dad, and from the English game, and he was a very, I'm gonna say, very conservative,
pragmatic
man. Yeah. Pragmatic. There we go. As a Stoke City fan that had to watch that because I hate myself. So is Anthony the same way? Is he a 4-4-2, knock it up there and see what we got?
Not quite as conservative. I would say he obviously prioritizes defense, but, he's thrown out a couple of different formations. We'll start out in a 4-4-2 most likely. We're dealing with some injuries now, though. He has been known to go to three at the back to push some people forward. And we've got a couple of outside backs that can get forward. So I would expect it to be 4-4-2, but he'll switch it up mid-game if he thinks it's needed.
Talk to us about what you who you expect to be your target man, your danger man, someone that we should be looking out for and going, I hope they don't get the ball to this person.
I was kind of hoping you guys would tell us. That's the biggest question right now, is where the goal is going to come from. Mm. Kyle Gregg was our leading scorer last year. He's back, but he's been a little injured. We've got Joaquin Rivas from Tulsa last year, but he's injured. Russell Cicerone came from Cincinnati. He can put a ball in. We've got a lot of tools, but they haven't clicked yet. So I would say this weekend I would be looking for Russell Cicerone coming in off the wing. And Kyle Gregg up top if he's healthy.
Talk to us a little bit about your field situation, because I know you guys have only played 12 games, so the table is deceiving because you guys have only played 12, I think.
Yeah,
and you have a U.S. Open Cup game this week, midweek. So yeah. you're starting to play catch up a little bit with some of these games. You're still sitting really well, considering that you have a game or two or three in hand with everybody around you. But talk to us a little bit about the field, and I know you guys have had some trouble with just flooding in that area. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the soccer park has, I think it's 8 fields. And it, like a lot of Midwestern cities, when you need a lot of land, you build it in the floodplain. So the park's been there for a while. It has seen its fair share of flooding. We've had some water come up this year onto some of the ancillary fields, but it hasn't gotten onto the main field. So that's good. So they don't have to replace that turf. But some of the roads around have been closed. So it's more of getting to the park that's been the issue. Mm. So yeah, we've had a couple games postponed. One because it just wouldn't stop lightning all night.
No, we know about that.
One because it was flooded. The roads to get there were flooded. So and it's hard to get into a rhythm when the guys aren't playing regularly. So I think that's been our biggest problem.
And do you guys at the beginning of the season, because you all made the playoffs last year, and right. I think there was an expectation that you were going to want to try and hit the playoffs again this year, especially with it going to 10, although there's like that weird, it's the 10th
little play-in game. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a play-in game. Yeah. It counts, but it also, it's like the ACC tournament. There's like a play-in, or no, the NCAA tournament where like there's a play-in game. You're part of the dance, but you're not really,
it counts. You're not officially in the tournament. Yeah.
Right. Right. So talk to us a little bit about what your expectations were for St. Louis FC, and do you think you're kind of about where you are? All things considered, are you guys feeling good about the season where you're at right now?
Yeah, obviously coming off of two losses to teams that you would think, are lower than us in the table, should have been wins, but that happens every year. But I think the goal this year, from Ant specifically, from the GM, from the president, they all said this year's goal was to host a playoff game. So we want to be in that top four range. And I think, before the little slump we've been in, we were kind of in that area. So I think we can get back to it. I honestly don't see a way we don't make the playoffs. But of course, now that I've said that, I've cursed us.
Well, looking at the schedule, like Chuck said, you guys have so many games in hand. So if the schedule ends today, you guys are in ninth, you would be at Charleston Battery in the play-in round. So I mean, I think everybody has the same ambition, host a playoff game. So it's top four or seven or eight, but, you know, nobody wants to be seven or eight.
Well,
so.
And the East is brutal. I mean, we do have the benefit of having seen the West and the East. The West is a little more wide open, and the East, we'll just, everybody's going to beat each other up. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of 1-1 draws, a lot of 0-0 draws, teams snaking out a 1-0 win here and there. So, you know, we're under no delusions that, you know, we don't think we're the best team in the league, but we think we can compete with everybody.
Right on, man.
I can, yeah.
Go ahead, Simon.
Oh, no, I was just going to add on a fact that I don't think it's a stretch to say that the East has the better two teams. So, like, even, you know, we got our tails kicked by Atlanta. Yeah. And Atlanta, Romario Williams scored three or four by himself at Charlotte. Yeah. So, I mean,
we found this out over the years. The two teams, even the ones who aren't having a good record, they've all got talent. I mean, these kids are in MLS systems for a reason. Mm-hmm. And on their day, they can do damage, you know. I mean, we had a kid from LA Galaxy score, you know, a hat trick on us last year. Well, you know, he's starting in MLS now. So, you know, these things happen. But, I would say the two teams in the East are probably a little more sturdy.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. T's and P's, everybody's nerves the last month of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the last month of the season, you just kind of hope that you have enough points that if you go through a slump, you kind of just float through into the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's really all about.
You hope you don't face a two team that has their first team get sent down. I mean, I think we've all had that game where we end up playing half of an A team.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So there's nothing you can do about that. So.
Yeah, and you can't legislate rules against it because it would clearly favor the independent teams versus the two teams.
Yeah.
And we'd all love that.
I get it. I think we could do a few things, but you know, you have to do it. You have to play the game that's laid out in front of you.
Yeah. Well, talk to us a little bit before we let you go. Because, again, it seems like St. Louis FC and North Carolina FC are the more you think about it, the more mirrored these two clubs are. There's a lot of history, Open Cup success. You know, there's, you know, a deep-rooted fan base. There's, you know, obviously we talked about the mascot thing, and the MLS bids, early on.
Yeah, you guys are getting some good news.
Yeah. But I want to talk to y'all about y'all's bid real quick. Because it's kind of like a tale of almost two bids. There was early on when the expansion, you know, stuff was announced and St. Louis was one of the ones. And it seemed like a sure thing. And then I think it was a public vote and they voted against tax of some sort.
It lost by 3,000 votes. It was really close. Really? But that said, I think that failed effort led to a better bid. Jim Cavanaugh, he's not the owner of St. Louis FC because St. Louis FC is a nonprofit, but he basically pays for everything. He was involved in the first bid and he's involved in the second bid, which is why we're so close to it, because we know Jim, we know he does things the right way. And now this time we've brought in the Taylor family, which is, you know, huge in St. Louis, and they do a lot of work and they aren't asking for public money. So that helps too.
Chuck will always, anytime anybody says anything about that, he'll just, my taxes. It never fails. My taxes. But on the MLS front bid, I mean, obviously, how St. Louis looks in the eyes of MLS is solely down to your hockey team winning. It worked in Nashville. It's worked for you.
Yeah.
So the next logical thing. Yeah.
It's helped for sure.
I don't know how MLS looks at expansion except by cashing a check, but, you know.
Yeah, but I think MLS has actually wanted St. Louis for a really long time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I mean, it's a good pivot point in the middle of the country, so I'm sure we'll be in MLS West one season and MLS East the next season, you know. We'll keep that going. That's our tradition. But, no, I think, I don't know. I'm of two minds. I love what we have now. I know things will change, some for the better, some for the good. But, it, you know, we just follow our team where they go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Brad, is there, before we let you go, where can we find you? Where can we find your podcast? And where can we find your supporters group?
At St. Lilligans on Twitter and at This Is Silly Pod for the podcast. And I have my own accounts, but I run those too. So that's really the only way to listen to me. If I have something I want to say that I don't think sounds right coming from the group, I'll log into my own account. You know, if I want to get a little snarky or say something that, you know, people would look down on, I do that as me. But mostly I'm either at the pod or at the supporters group.
Wonderful. Real quick, St. Louis is verified on Twitter. How'd that happen?
Yes. It goes back to, I started the Twitter account, you know, like in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And started the Facebook page, and we had an Instagram page, but it was garbage. I'm too old, you know, I'm an old guy, I don't get the new hip thing. So a friend of mine, Sarah, took over the Instagram, and she does an amazing job. Like, if you want to see cool stuff, follow us on Instagram, not Twitter, because she's so much better than I am. But she decided one day she wanted to get verified. And I was like, I don't even know how you do that kind of stuff. She's like, well, I looked it up and I'm going to get our Twitter account or our Instagram account verified. And I said, all right, you go do that. Well, then I just Googled it on Twitter and found out how I had to do it. And so I just submitted it thinking, you know, I'm never going to get it. And we got it. So it was really just to piss Sarah off that I got the blue check mark. So there you go. Everything we do is a joke, and it, you know, turns into what it turns into.
Well, man,
that is.
It just sounds like y'all have so much fun, and I think that's what's the most important thing. And we really appreciate you coming on. You know, in between podcasts and games, you guys got the Open Cup against Cincy on Wednesday. Best of luck to you.
Yeah, and if anybody is coming in from North Carolina, I know it's kind of a long trip, but we always welcome everybody at our tailgate. We like to have a few beers before the game, then yell at each other for 90 minutes, and then after the game have a beer too. So
wouldn't have it any other way, right?
Yep.
Nope. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, Brad, thanks again, man, for coming on. I appreciate you. And
yep.
Hopefully it's a hard-fought game that the Dead Whales come out on top.
I was thinking the opposite, but I understand the sentiment.
All right, man. Take care. Thank you very much.
Bye.
And now here's Zach with the Cardinal Collective Minute.
Welcome to Cardinal Collective Minute. I'm your host, Zach, and here are this week's NCFC U23 news. After 90-plus minutes of lightning delay, the U23s could not make a comeback versus Wake FC and fall 1-0 in Holly Springs. This athletic division has been tightening up as other teams start catching up on games played. Only 3 points separate 1st and 6th. The Cardinals currently sit 4th in the standings with 5 games left to play this season. The team needs to make a run these last few games to have a strong shot at 1st. The next home game for the Cardinals is Friday, June 28th versus the Otters. The following week begins NCFC Fam Week, 4 games in 4 days, starting with the U23s at home July 3rd versus Wake FC. For the latest NCFC U23 information, follow along on Twitter at CardinalRAL.
Now here's Ebony with the European update from the World Cup in France.
Hey 6PW fam, it's Ebony reporting live from France. Got to watch a fantastic USA-Chile game with a 3-0 win, and now I get to watch USA-Sweden in Le Havre on Thursday. It's been a fantastic trip so far. Justin and I cannot wait to get to our second part of our trip where we get to hop around Europe for a little bit. If you have questions, or you want to see any of the amazing matches or any of the amazing pictures and adventures we do, you can hit up my Twitter, EbonyC25. I'll be posting from there, and I'll be sending a couple of cool pics to the 6PW crew to post, especially with our logo everywhere, all in Europe. Thanks, guys, for letting me do this really quick. Come on, you Dead Whales.
All right, we are back. Now we're going to talk a little courage, maybe get some World Cup talk in there. I'm not sure if we're going to have enough time. Got no questions for S6PW this week, which is okay. But because we have some news about a new stadium, and we'll get into that later too.
Big news day.
Big news
day. In the 919.
Yeah, from this date of recording. All right, so part of what was so interesting and alluring about this Pride Night doubleheader was that it was not just a Pride Night, not just a doubleheader, NCFC playing an opponent where you could see a win coming, but also having the NWSL championship rematch again, third time around.
Check's fine. Print. Oof.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Oof. We lost one championship, won one championship, and this result was just about what you would expect. Ended 1-1. Let's get right into it. So Leshnak was in goal. We had Ryan Williams, Recaro, and Kurtz and Hinkle on the back. I'll just say this. Interesting that Hinkle's starting on Pride Night because she hadn't done that before.
I don't know if you were there, but there was discussion about that, and it was a topic of conversation. So
at the tailgate?
No, like in the stands waiting for turnover between the men's game and the women's game. So
I think she starts because we just don't have enough players. And she can't be selfish at this point.
Yeah, and to be fair against Portland, we kind of needed our better players out there because looking at the table, Portland is 3 with 15 points. We are 4th with 13. And Houston is breathing down our neck at 12.
Yeah, it's a very tight table. Probably the most competitive table since we've been in the NWSL as the Courage, at least from recent memory. We'll say in the last 3 years.
Washington has figured something out. They've turned it around. They're in first. Utah was good last year. And Chicago, Seattle, and Houston are... at 11 points and 12 points respectively. So
it's only, pretty much everybody and then
only
Sky Blue
and Orlando. So we have 7 teams going for 4 spot.
Yeah, and literally anybody could weekend to weekend the whole dynamic of the top 4 can totally switch.
Especially with these super important league games taking place during the World Cup, but That's a soapbox for a different podcast.
Yeah, that is idiotic. I could see them saying like, oh, well, why don't we bank off of the World Cup good feelings by having more soccer? Nah.
Nah. It's a no for me. It's a no for me, dog.
Yeah. But, yeah. The men don't do that. So I'm just
saying. No.
So there's a reason for that.
Like, this game started, and there was a pretty decent chunk of Portland fans. There were 2 or 3 little pockets. Usually when She Who Shall Not Be Named is playing, there's a larger, like, NC alumna, you know, clinger group. But we're not going to mention her because she wasn't even there. But so there were pockets of Thorns fans, and unfortunately for the home crowd, they had most of the reasons to cheer in the first half, including... I'm not sure if you want to call it a chip or a what the blank were you thinking goalkeeper in the 26th minute, because as soon as the Thorns got the ball, we were all like, oh no, she's no, and it's it.
Yeah.
Kind of like
it happened really, really fast.
It did.
I was just going to say, I think I'm going to give Leshnak a pass because she's a rookie goalie, kind of getting thrown into this. She wasn't really expecting to start. I can't imagine she was expecting to start so soon. But I guess Roland getting over the injury.
Yeah, that was also a question we all had. We were like, why is Leshnak starting? What's wrong?
But I think it's a combo of Roland is still not feeling 100% confident with her injury, even though she's recovered from it. I think it's more of a mental thing at this point, because goalies can be very streaky, just like any other player. And if they lose confidence, especially, you make the wrong decision. You go out for a ball when you're not supposed to. You punch when you need to catch. You can get sloppy. So I don't mind that decision. So I give Leshnak a pass on Purse's goal. Because honestly, we saw this coming. Portland was just lofting these balls over the head to Purse and just saying, go after it. Go run and get it. And our backline could not quite keep up with her.
So I'm not gonna feel too bad going into the half at 1-0.
No.
Most of Portland's highlights were, if you look at the highlights of the game, like, all of Portland's were in the first half, and then all of ours were in the second. So,
And credit to the coaching staff and Paul and the players for turning it a total 180, and we absolutely dominated the second half. I cannot overstate that enough. We completely, I don't even know if they made it past half field, maybe midfield, maybe once or twice in that whole second half, and they never threatened.
Yeah, the town of Cary might need to repaint the Courage locker room, because I'm pretty sure Paul's stripped it.
Oh yeah, most definitely. So, obviously he fixed something. tightened up the back line. They just did not get anything out. And we were a little hard done by some of these shots that just went wide or hit the bar or whatever. Deflections.
A Portland Thorns rugby tackle in the box.
Yeah. So Spetsmark's goal in the, let me see, I have it here. I thought I had, in the 59th minute, sorry. She came on to start the second half, I think.
Yeah, she was a second half sub.
Yeah, which when you see that, you kind of go, all right, Paul's got an idea. He knows what he wants to do. It's rare that a player comes right in to sub in at the second half. So he saw something that he wanted to change and change immediately, and it worked.
Well, yeah. Obviously, the first half, just chalk that one up. That was like whatever the game plan was going into the game, rip it up, set it on fire, and bury the ashes in the ocean.
And so, honestly, like, if we can play like that, if we can play like the second half, the rest of the season until our players get back from the World Cup, we're fine. We're going to be fine. That was the best I've seen the Courage play since our players have left this season. It was a very dominant, felt very much like the old Courage, out shooting, outperforming, outrunning, out, you know, possession, every stat, essentially.
It was a Courage performance that we have been spoiled into expecting.
Mm-hmm, very much so.
Steve Malik said he would bring in the best women's team on the planet, but we would have it, and we do. And so we also have one of the best coaches on the planet, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
And so it doesn't take a genius to realize that putting players in positions to succeed, looking at you, Matthews, if you put players in positions to succeed, they probably will. So
yeah,
sorry, it's not a podcast with me on here if I don't throw shade at them somehow. So.
Of course, but yeah. So Spetsmark's goal was a thing of beauty, a nice little kind of dink over the keeper, and it just fell right into the net. Beautiful. We all got to see it from behind the goal. Shout out to the yet to be named group that's kind of had their coming out party at the Courage match. Check OCS's Twitter page for the Facebook link to join the group. It is not an OCS group. Has OCS members, but not everybody in that group is an OCS member.
No, there's crossover of just soccer fans. So
yes.
So there's a new Courage group. Feel free to suggest a name, because as of right now, there isn't one. But you know, we, that group was causing, was providing an atmosphere, one that expedited my hangover, right quick. And so it got too much. No, not too much. Just enough drumming. The halftime whistle blew. And, I said, you know, to myself, but aloud, I was like, I wonder if they have ibuprofen at the first aid tent. And just, I had to tap out. So, unfortunately, I missed everything you just said about how good the Courage were live. So,
it worked out. I missed most of the NCFC game. You missed most of the Courage game. This is why we're doing the podcast tonight. This is why.
Yeah. We could have, we'll fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
They announced the attendance at 6,172. Does that feel about right to you as somebody who was there before people started leaving early from the men's game?
Yeah, absolutely. Because they're going to count that for both teams, because technically one total, ticket gets you into both.
Total tickets sold.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I think that's almost dead on accurate. I wouldn't say it's overinflated or underinflated. I think it's just about right. When I came into the stadium, I thought, wow, it's a pretty good crowd. Honestly, a little disappointed maybe because it was such a, especially for the Courage match, it was such a nice day, such a nice night. Once the sun set, it was awesome. It was a great night for soccer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a late kickoff for folks. It was a 7:45 kickoff, which usually the Courage kicks off at 7. For families, that's the difference between going and not going. And for some people, it's Pride night and they may not want to go to Pride night. That's okay too. Not okay for me, but you know.
Yeah, that's on them. So
it's on them. Yeah.
But I made the comment that it appeared to me that there are two very distinct fan bases, and I was pretty rightly called out by Zach, Tifo King Zach, for saying, you know, it was just a late start time. A lot of people that left were families, so I would be, you know, more than happy to try to do the, you know, as often as the club can, you know, for a doubleheader. Maybe start the first game a little earlier. But
yeah, start the first game at 3. I know it's, especially during the summer, it's going to be very, very hot, but I think it's worth it in the long run. Everybody gets out sooner. Just wear sunscreen. I don't know. Deal with it. It's the South in the summer. It's going to be hot. This is not news.
Big if true. It's hot in the summer. But as far as like the doubleheader in and of itself, like I didn't have any problems with the ticket scanning. I didn't have any I do have one major call out that the concession stand behind the east stand, I guess, the one that's right near the entranceway.
Yeah.
Beside the tunnel. Ran out of hamburgers like right at the end of the men's game. So
yeah, not great.
Not great, Bob. That and the men's rooms ran out of paper towels.
For real?
For real.
Damn.
I made a pit stop before leaving to just get like a moment's peace, you know, to kind of like let my head not feel like it was about to explode. And I walked over and tried to dry my hands off, and all of them were empty. So yay. But yay. You know,
I think it was under counting the amount of people that would be there. I think they probably didn't expect that many people, which is surprising because Town of Cary and the club should have, I think they have a regular communication saying like, hey, this many people are going to be here. We need more parking enforcement. We need more security, whatever. But yeah, that's a little surprising because I don't think I've ever heard that happen before. I've heard of food running out, but not necessarily after one game. I can understand that being run out after like a U.S. women's national team friendly. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people. Food's going to run out, but not after 6,000 people in 90 minutes.
I was in line and somebody in front of me ordered a cheeseburger and because you know they have like high schoolers run. One of the kids goes, "Yeah, we have like 4 left." So
then I'll take all 4. Maybe, good day.
I'll take all 4. Cheeseburgers, $50.
One thing. So, I mean, oh yeah, go ahead.
That's all I noticed as negatives. So other than like if that's all I saw, like yeah, the paper towels were a pretty big deal, but good on the club.
Yeah,
like, and literal, one thing and literally everything else.
Maybe I could say I was a little bit disappointed with this. So actually, when I got into the game, first thing I went to was to go to the merch table and see what kind of pride gear they had. And I was a little disappointed that there wasn't maybe more options. A couple of shirts, a hat, the scarf, and that's it.
Yeah, it was pretty slim pickings as far as merch.
I feel like OCS does kind of supplements that with having some more like OCS rainbow stuff and pride stuff. Honestly, no offense to the club, because I love repping NCFC and the Courage, but I think I might buy an OCS shirt first. And I know my wife would hate hearing that because I have like 15 of them, but you gotta do what you gotta do. They're so comfy.
I would have I don't know if it's a league mandate or just the club didn't want to buy 22 new sets of numbers, but on a Pride Night like specifically, like at least have the players wear rainbow numbers, like
or warm up.
If you don't want to buy a box load of rainbow numbers and like press them at the moment of sale, then okay, fine. But it would be a nice I don't know if that's a league thing or.
I haven't seen any USL rainbow numbers to be fair this year, but I haven't really looked that hard. What they could do is say we're going to print one jersey for each player. They're going to warm up with them, maybe not necessarily playing them, but then you auction them off for like Equality NC or playing for Pride, it's a win-win.
That'd be great. Other than that, I mean, that's all I have for the doubleheader. 4 points out of 6. Definitely. And then we had the Courage's B team, also known as the U.S. Women's National Team,
took care of business. When we recorded, they have a combined goal differential of 16. Now 16-0. They walloped Thailand 13-0 and took care of Chile. A very professional win, 3-0. Could have been more. Again, the Chile goalkeeper just like played out of her fucking skin. It was ridiculous. J-Mac almost had a goal. Like I think she hit it off the post.
J-Mac put on a show. She was really good. I was so happy when I saw her sub in, because so many people said she wouldn't play. Yeah. And I know J Mac's not gonna say it because, you know, she's better, but fuck you guys. So there, I'll say it. I'll say it for her.
Friend of the pod, good friend of the pod.
Overall great human being. Yes. Jessica McDonald.
How could you not love that story? You know, she stuck with it and she's made it. It would have been great to see McCall and Jess and Crystal and Abby and Sam all in the field at the same time. But we only get 4 out of 5, but luckily it seems they've all contributed to the success of the team so far. So long may it continue.
Absolutely.
Abby Ursig is having a little bit of trouble with New Zealand.
More a New Zealand problem than an Ursig problem.
It's not a her problem. It's a New Zealand problem. Yeah. So it's a little unfortunate. I think we all could kind of see that coming. Maybe they would surprise, but they're kind of where everybody thought they were. Brazil qualified as of recording today, so they're through. So good on Dabinha. She almost scored today.
What you mean? It wasn't just because of Marta's, you know, will and character.
Oh, that's, yeah, the fighting Martas. That's what they're called, right? The fighting Martas.
The fighting Martas. It's a picture of her like as an old timey boxer with like one hand way behind the other one. That's the new Brazil. Brazil crest. I'm so done.
Am I missing
anybody? Sorry. I'm so done with like the coverage of this World Cup. Just like, you know, if it weren't for Sam Kerr, Australia wouldn't be anything. If it wasn't for Marta, Brazil wouldn't be anything. Yo, man, there's like 19 other players.
Yeah, maybe, and they're all pretty damn good.
They're all pretty good. So I'm over Fox's coverage of this tournament.
I'm not a big fan of Fox's coverage of soccer, period. So I'm with you on that. Oh, I forgot to mention Steph LeBay. Getting some shout outs for Canada. Was pretty awesome. So they're progressing rather nicely.
Canada, eh?
Yeah, you betcha.
Good job. The Sunnyvale Trailer Park will be watching. Park Boys reference.
So we didn't get any Ask 6PW questions, which is okay because we're running a little long, so I wanted to get to the last bit, which is some new downtown stadium news that broke earlier today. On Tuesday, did not expect to hear 20,000 seats for this proposed stadium. That's a little higher than I think we were all expecting. Yeah,
I think that's Red Bull Arena's size in New Jersey. So
I think who is it? Ryan in the Slack said that it's higher than 6 MLS teams already.
Yeah, well, it's definitely higher than the brand new one they just put out in San Jose.
Yep. So higher than. Sporting KC's. I know they kind of have a smaller stadium. So yeah.
No, but they all, yeah. So 20K for a multi-use sport facility, concert stuff. Yeah, I could see why you'd want 20,000 seats.
I could see us eventually getting 20,000, but I thought we were going to have 15 and then maybe add 5,000 more kind of around to kind of fill it out.
Like
an old school style English stadium where you have just four sides and then you fill in the corners with the 5,000 later on. But that's why they don't pay me.
I'd be more of a fan of just give me a bowl with a roof. Just give me a roof, please.
God, just give me a roof. Give me a roof. Just give me a scaffolding. Like for TIFOs.
Like I know we all want like safe standing for support and, you know, like a certified player center, and we want all of these. Well, if the team was in Raleigh, I'd go, bros, to, you know, now you got your chance. But just please, it's hot. Like Seattle has a roof because it rains. We need a roof because it's hot.
Because it's hot. And because it rains. You know?
We
get the worst of it. Of both.
So my two hopes and dreams for this stadium is that A, it gets built, and B, it has a roof, because Malik and Kane are sharing, or I guess floating, sharing, halving the $1.9 billion with a B cost of this stadium.
I mean, why not just say it's $2 billion? Why not just call it two? It's going to be well over $2 billion by the time it's done. We know this.
Oh yeah.
You know,
oh yeah,
it's easier to stomach because they get some kickback from taxes and it's an opportunity zone, so they don't have to pay as much. I guess they're calling it, that's what the whole complex would be worth overall once it's done. So it sounds like it's going to be mixed use, offices, businesses, retail, entertainment. I was talking to some folks And they were, and I was kind of alluding to the fact that this stadium gets built by maybe 2021, allegedly. That's a really short ramp up time, considering that we're halfway through the year of 2019. But that this would be the replacement for Red Hat Amphitheater for downtown entertainment, and that Red Hat, because that's a sweet piece of land, and it's just sitting there, and it's going to get developed. It was always meant to be temporary. I mean, you look at it and you're like, that is a temporary amphitheater.
But my taxes.
You know,
can't wait for that. But Malik was quoted in on WRALSportsFans.com's page. Quote, this is not just about soccer. We are planning 75 other major events and hundreds of smaller events that will activate the development year round. End quote.
Not just about soccer.
Yeah,
you got conferences, you got just general retail, you got, you know, businesses maybe that have their main offices there. You do this, maybe you get a Fortune 500 company that goes, I'd like to move to Raleigh. Oh, you've got space. Oh, it's right next to the stadium. I'd like to buy season tickets for my company. Boom. You know, this whole thing about Raleigh not having any Fortune 500 companies is a bit of a mark, but it's something hiring that we can grow into. It's not, we don't need it right away.
And shout out to whoever called out the fact that hopefully this gets done before Charlotte moves into their Memorial Stadium. Mm-hmm. So
it would be roughly around the same time. I mean, Charlotte hasn't really started any construction on that side, and they're having to deal with working with a current built stadium and try and keep it to code and try and maintain the history, because it's, I believe it's a historical landmark, whereas we have an empty field that we're just building right on top of and that we own it.
Yeah.
And we don't have to ask for anybody's permission to do anything. We've got it. We're done. We're building. So it'll be interesting to see how quick it gets done.
So, like, shout out to everybody behind the scenes that kept this a secret. Thanks, guys. Because I thought this was the news when they announced Nas was coming back. So apparently this is the worst kept secret in Raleigh. But we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. And with that, we're going to close the book on episode 53. Of course, we are brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company at tastybeverageco.com. The Beautiful Game Network, check them out at bgn.fm. And Golden Goal Press at goldengoalpress.com. We are, of course, we ask 6BW, and we normally record, are brought to you by London Bridge Pub. So they have food. Go get yourself a drink. Get yourself something to eat. I know some people are there watching the Gold Cup games and the World Cup games. So really good group there. Darren and Mike are awesome. Of course, Soccer and Sweet Tea are good friends of the pod.
Hashtag SNST fam.
Yep. And of course, thank you to our sponsor, Golden Goal Press, the best choice for you to get your custom shirts, hats, mugs, and other items just for just yourself or your organization. Check out their amazing products at a fraction of the price of other places at goldengoalpress.com. Simon, thank you very much for filling in. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And if you haven't yet, follow us on iTunes. Don't, because it's going away. So subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at 6 Point Weekend. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Can't leave us a review on Spotify yet. Can't leave us a review on Google Podcasts yet. But if you're on the Apple ecosystem, please leave us a review. We appreciate it. And we appreciate you all for listening and sticking through. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.